Satsang with Maitreya, September 1st, 2001.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Satsang of the Vishnu Maitreya, the General Divine Path. I hope we can have a very good Satsang today. And again, we talked about the General Divine Path and God's revelation, and how all the visions of the world unified here. And in here is the hearing the word of God that is called again to humanity come and unify under one teaching that unifies all religions together as one again. And God is calling humanity come to join us. And as usual, I'm going to go ahead and ask to see if anybody new in the audience that have not heard the Eternal Divine Path, so we can go through the path again here. So, if anybody new is here, then go ahead. If you have any questions, you can bring it up next time. Of course, you have been answering questions for the last 20 some years, and I would not be surprised if not much of a question left. And also, it was a very interesting month, last month, of the previous satsangs, and we went through a lot of purification, which was very good, and things happened in the mission also, and for the level of them, those who are connected to the mission and you know the event happening. So, as we act and reach out to us to the mission, we all will drive us also. It's a purification happens more as we reach to out and act and try to do the mission and then see ourselves in the process much better. So that goes very well with the teaching of the mission, that it's easy to go to the top of the mountain and meditate, and you say you're a great, yogi at the top of the mountain. But when you come to the city and somebody push you, suddenly you become angry about it. Why you be such a great yogi and all that? Suddenly you see your impurity much better. When you are in the action, in the society, in the, the process of being with the other people, as we'll travel again with the comings of light, the progress in comings of light is much more accelerated. And hopefully we have comings of light all over the world, and everybody in it, progress and have more time to meditate and look at ourselves and say, wow, okay, I can get the this, I can get the that, I can practice in this day and that day, and it all become greater beings. So again, being escapist, you may make the illusion of being great, but acting will purify us in a greater degree.
As we go through life, there are things that happen that we consider not good, stumbling blocks. And instead of allowing them to make you fall and you just stay down, use those stumbling blocks to become more aware of yourself and what's going on in your life, to really face yourself so that they can become stepping stones. In other words, they make you go through life pure. That's what I would imagine.
Okay, well, I can elaborate that if you have a problem in your life and you don't face it, it becomes a stumbling block. And because you're not facing it, you don't know exactly why this problem is in your life. So, but if you face yourself and say, okay, I have this problem in my life, and it's really bothering me, and it's really, it's a blockage toward my spiritual progress, and this, I avoid the situation, I go move from that situation to a new area, or I leave the city, go to another city. After a while, we have the same problem again, and I have created the same situation for myself. Okay. And that's the pattern we were talking about in the human life. A lot of people, if you really meditate, you will find that there's a pattern in the life that no matter where they go, it occurs the same thing over and over. I'm having a bad relationship, okay, and then I drop in this relationship, I fall into the, again, the same trap again and again. So there's something really in me, no matter that position, anyway. Move from, some people say, if I move from here somewhere else, I'm going to be okay. And they do, and then they're not okay. The same thing happened to them. So really, it's not the place, it's not the, you know, where you live, but it is the package that we take with us. And we go from one place to another, and then same thing with the same energy, with the same attitude, with the same problem. We create the same situation that we were in it before, and then we blame everybody else and everything else in the universe, including God. Why he is not helping us without the facing of ourselves and meditating on it and say, oh, look, no matter where I go, this pattern happens. Therefore, there's not something wrong with God or environment or other people, but there's something within myself that I have to look into it. And then when you do that, then you can, little by little, through your meditation and concentration, your, you know, realization of self, you realize, oh yeah, this is a pattern that it happened when I was in another place. This is the pattern that happened 2 years ago. This is the pattern that happened 4 years ago. What is the pattern in my life that is happening over and over? Now, what's the problem? What is in me that creates this situation? But really, I am the creator. I am the person who creates these stumbling blocks. And if you realize what it is, okay, and as I've said many times, there are creatures and humans that, just like what they call a psychological problem or subconscious mind or the karmic thing that you have picked up for many lifetimes, including this lifetime, and you created kind of a ways to deal with the different situation. Each person deals with the situation differently. Okay? As you react to the situation evolves, you know, to what it will be. So, as you meditate, and you see your subconscious mind, and as I said many times, these creatures can live only where? Only in darkness, that in the crevices of your soul, that you haven't shed any light in them, and you don't know even they exist. But as you meditate and you put light on them and you keep, it's not a very difficult thing, just see the pattern that's happening. As you become more aware of the pattern, you become aware of those, you know, unconscious or subconscious level that you are not aware of. Okay. As you more put more light on it, these creatures can't live in light. That's why meditation and self-realization is knowing God. Okay. As you become more aware of these creatures or this subconscious, you know, things, your stumbling block really dissolves themselves and go away and no longer exists, and you are freer. And you can go to any situation without creating the same pattern that you used to make. So in a way, it will, again, without teaching that, you know, you have to know yourself. You have to realize, you know, what's happening in your life. Go ahead.
Well, I wondered if that kind of related to Tantra Yoga, where maybe a stumbling block is a desire you have, and then you realize through it how actually it helps you progress spiritually or something like that. And also I can think of something in my life that seemed like a terrible stumbling block, you know, the death of my sister, but yet it actually provoked me to, yeah, search for higher truths.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, and And also we have to sometimes be careful with this. There are lots of beautiful words out there that we love to repeat and say them, but we really don't understand what it means. And people who say them should be able to explain what they mean. Why, what is it? Pretty, it's beautiful, is it sketchy? You know, it's a, we are God, all gods, all right? You know, you mean I created the universe? It sounds good, it's pretty. Really, you have to think about it. I look at it as more self-realization and realizing what this stumbling block is and dissolve it and take it out of the way. Okay, so you can go farther ahead than how you can make it in a stepping stone. Okay, now with the death of his sister, okay, she made her to become more seeking of what's the meaning of life. Why are we here? You know, she was like, you know, a couple of hours ago, and now that she's suddenly gone, she's not there with us anymore. You know? Actually, that's how death is. Some people, you know, walk around and they're okay. 2 minutes later, they're not there anymore. You know what happened to them? You know? That's why death is such a powerful instrument to make humans to start thinking, what is the goal of it? What's the meaning of life? Why are we here? Therefore, you know, I'm such a big ego. I think I'm the best thing ever happened to the universe. You know. But then I die, and I'm just no longer there. That's why many yogis, they go to the cemeteries, and they meditate in cemeteries. It's just like Shiva used to go there, and put a lot of skulls around himself, and I meditate on the meaning of death. You know, why what happened to these skulls? You know, it's just a bone, it doesn't move, it doesn't have any ego, it doesn't have anything in it. What is it? What happened to it? So death is a great way of meditating. What's the end of my life? That's it. I came here, live, eat, sleep, make children, and that's the end of me? That's I'm going to die. But there's more to me. It's not my body. I'm a greater thing. I'm a soul. I've been here for a purpose, for a reason. I came here to what? To become divine. What's that mean? It means to overcome, know myself, to become a great instrument for a greater purpose. And of course, you know, some humans are born to just lead, sleep, make children, eat, and die. And they never even questioned where they came from and where they're going. You know, but so the thing happened in your life that might help you toward, you know, asking yourself these questions, you know, why you are here and all that. But still, you are not self-realized. You know, when, for example, it happened to your sister, you know, you become a seeker, but you weren't completely there yet. You were seeking the questions of why she died and all that. But still, you have to go through the purification, meditation, you know, self-realization, and become trying to come to the mission. And you receive your answer and say, yeah, if something makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. And then it makes sense, because still when you're in the mission, that doesn't mean completely you overcome all the stumbling blocks in your life. Okay. I'd like to hear somebody else, if they have an explanation also, what's that meant to make your stumbling block a stepping stone. I have a hard time to visualizing how a stumbling block becomes a stepping stone.
From what has been said, that when things happen in our life that we think are negative, we can look at them and see the truth behind them, and also if something terrible or shocking happens in our life, as the clergy and the sister, it causes us to move toward getting on the eternal divine path. And I'm saying that the stepping stones of the eternal divine path would be you right to her stone, and the stones would be the teaching of God. And so we would step and walk on those teachings. The stones would be the teachings on the front of my path to get us to God.
I was saying that is a phrase often used in New Age teaching. And what they're trying to do is make everything negative into something positive. But if something's negative, it's negative, and it needs to be dealt with. We need to put the light on it and to reveal it for what it is and to put it behind us. But if we keep saying everything is positive, then we're really denying our problems. And we're not dealing with them. We're not facing ourselves. So I think that's part of the New Age thinking that isn't going to go anywhere.
I guess I could clarify what I was trying to explain by trying to look at it that way. I think what was happening with me is like the focus would be brought back to God in that situation. So as soon as your focus is on God, then you're where you need to be, and it makes it, I think, how you talk about bringing in the light of God, then you're looking at it straight on and not avoiding it, like we teach in our teaching.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Uh-huh. Okay, there is a poor person that wants to do something great. He has no financial ability to do what he wants. That's a stumbling block. How can he make that in a stepping stone?
Right. I suppose what I'm saying maybe doesn't work for every situation. I was kind of sharing what I was doing in my situation.
No, I'm not asking you from everybody. Okay. It is a good word. You know, that is what the New Agers, and this, the teaching that everything is okay, be a positive thinker, and you're God, and don't worry about it, God loves you, and all that. Don't listen to the scriptures or the prophets or things like that. You are your own God and make your own path and all that. All those things have a very beautiful wording in it and makes you feel good and all that. But then you come to the explanation and dissect them and go a little deeper into them. Okay, I am God. Did I create the universe? Or I am in the image of God, that God created me in His image. Okay, that makes more sense. I'm in His image, but I didn't create the universe. Okay, positive thinking, I'm poor, I might have no ability to do that great task that I'm trying to do, and then say, I make that positive thing, and I think very positive about it. I'm not good. Is that going to help? You have to do some effort. You have to see, okay, how can I make this situation and solve the problem and come to the point that I can get the things to be done in my life. So then people say beautiful words, okay, then you ask about it and then go deeper to see what's happening, okay. The stumbling block, okay, means something in my way, okay. Of course, if you can put your head over it and go over the stumbling block and pass over it and go to the next step, great, then becoming the stepping, it really doesn't become a stepping stone. It becomes something that you took, got out of the way. Okay, you went over it. Okay. And the stepping stone sounds to me I have a lot of stumbling block and I want to go up to up steps. So I take my stumbling block and make it stairs. Okay, I put the stumbling block over each other and become the stairs so I can go to the up steps for higher consciousness. That is means using the stumbling block and the stepping stone to become kind of a stairs to a higher level, right? Mm-hmm. If you put your feet on the stumbling block, you become this, alright? Mm-hmm. And I have a hard time to see how you can use a stumbling block and make it the stairs to go to the higher level unless you take the stumbling block, look at it, realize it, why is it the stumbling block, take care of it, put it away, and you say, all right, I'm done with the stumbling block, but this is the stumbling block, and you really get them out of the way instead of, you know, using to go upstairs. So I think that's another one of those wording that sounds good, but then you really analyze it, you realize really the stumbling block is something you overcome, you dissolve it, you realize it, by taking care of it. Unless somebody come up with a tell me the question, a poor person wants to, you know, buy a $500,000 home. How is he going to do it? With the stumbling block making it a stepping stone.
Coming to the realization that happiness doesn't come by having money and going more spiritual. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Becoming more spiritual, going towards God, realizing that it's okay to have nothing material.
Okay, let's do another way. Somebody wants to become a spiritual teacher, okay, but they have some, you know, mental problem. Okay, their desire is there, but that's a stumbling block in their way. How are they going to be able to do that?
Because you're a disgrace, something like that.
Yeah. Unless they have overcome their, or they have a lot of desires and an attachment in the world, unless they overcome, or somebody wants to become this greatest spiritual teacher, but instead they have a lot of desires and attachments and all that. Unless they overcome those things, they cannot become completely a channel to God because the purity is not there. Therefore, those things is gonna, you know, make them not become a pure channel.
What about the Jewish people? Mm-hmm. They were given so much hardship in order to become pure.
But that's different. That's not the stumbling block. That is the process of purification of going toward the hardship.
This thing I'm stumbling blocks, and you're talking about putting my top in one another and making stairs to go to higher consciousness. Mm-hmm. It reminds me very much of the Tower of Babel. Mm-hmm. You know, when they took their blocks and they built them up and they said, we're going to go to God. And what happened to them? They got scattered all over the wealthy world. You can't go to higher consciousness by putting under yourself your impurities and stepping on your impurities. That's not going to get you anywhere at all.
Does that make sense?
Yes, I think that's why I didn't understand it. Part of it wasn't.
Yeah, there are a lot of beautiful woods out there that was thrown away out around, and it sounds makes sense and make you actually confused, and you think, wow, that was a pretty word. But really, you don't understand what that means. It's something that you have to be very careful, actually, in our spiritual path, that the words sometimes can be and actually a stumbling block. You're way, okay. That's a good question. Okay, there are pretty words, there are stumbling blocks. Mm-hmm. How can you make them in a stepping stone?
Don't believe them.
Don't believe them.
So actually, very helpful that Kish had brought it up as a question. So again, it goes to we should question every year.
Exactly, you have to question yourself. You have to question other people teaching. You have to question even your own realization. You know, and eventually you come up and realize that, you know, eternal divine path and the community of light and living in the community, seeing yourself in the community. You know, and then overcoming those problems you have, and then you will become more free and free. Yeah, here we go.
And I think that's great. I think that's why I didn't understand the question. I was really struggling to understand it because I thought there was something there. It may be that at some point John could clarify for us what's in the email. Maybe we'll get a clearer picture of what was,
yeah,
trying to be
a part of it. Yeah, Abhijan was here today. He has to take his grandmother for a the hospital, and there was no one else to do that. We discussed it, and he had no choice. And Brad also, I think, he's in the road and traveling, so probably doesn't have any access to the computer. But we, they were here and explaining to us what did they meant. Yeah, well.
The other thing that came up at the chat room had to do with Maya and Grace. And what was written in the chat room is Maya and Grace are the same. And it talked, and then another statement said, ego uses grace. And these things didn't make any sense to me, so I called them. I said, you know, what does that mean? I don't understand that. And then it was put in other words, and still, even in these other words, it sounded like ego and grace are in the same category, and that that ego knows how to use grace. And to me, this makes no sense at all. I mean, if ego is using grace, we're in bad shape.
Well, that's how the religion starts. That the disciples and the people who hear the teachings start interpreting that according to what they understand from it. And they say something, catches people just like make your stumbling block, you know, the stepping stone. This is a beautiful, you know, metaphor or thing that we can think about. It. So, oh, wow, that's good. I'm going to make my stumbling block with the stepping stones. And then, you know, what does that mean? You know, if you struggle with it for the rest of your life, try to do that, and you never analyze exactly what that means. So understanding the teaching completely, so that way it's so important understanding exactly what is grace. Okay? You know, can even grace manifest if there is ego? That is the question. The grace comes when you are completely channel of God, and you let God come through, and the Spirit come through. And actually, ego is the umbrella that we all have at the top of our head, and we are trying, you know, and the grace can't get to us because we have that umbrella over our head. Okay? And then, if everybody took the umbrella away, which means ego, that's the only thing that I said God doesn't like in the universe, is ego. If ego means, you know, anything that, you know, blocks God's grace to come to us. So how can ego be the same as grace? So it's kind of a... But grace is the same energy that we use in the universe. And really, grace is energy, is Rajaguna. Now, if we use the Rajaguna for the worldly thing, okay, then that grace becomes worldly and bondage and karma and prevents us from seeing that we are a part of God. We are a being here to become divine, that we can overcome those things that keep us from God and all that. Now, if we use the grace or use the energy for the higher thing, for the godly work, for godly things, then that very energy become what? Become grace. To help us to go toward godly things. It is the same energy that become worldly, or is the same energy which become grace. Okay, just like a grace is what is the female part of God, right? Okay. Eve fell. Okay. So the grace became what? Bondage. They were thrown out of the heaven. Before that, okay, the grace, which the same energy was in what? In heaven, and they didn't have to feel the ground, they were happy, they were everything they needed, you know, provided for them. But they misuse the grace. And that's what the metaphor in the Bible is, the female fell. The female is the energy of the Rajaguna. And this, and that was the whole thing happened. So it's the same energy, you can use it for greater purpose and become grace, or you can direct it to the world, the thing, and extend your time and energy to, you know, accumulate wealth and money and being, you know, being wanting to bigger car, bigger house, bigger, you know, worldly thing, and eventually you reach a point, you know, you are completely a slave of the worldly thing, and you become a politician, and you have to, you know, have two face, and then either want to rule, especially if you are a person that you claim to be a spiritual, at the same time, you have a great desire for the worldly thing. And then you have to come back, you have to come two face, you have to play games, okay? You have to go to the world and become worldly and come to the spiritual, you know, people and try to look spiritual, okay? And just like the one Christ said, that the one that was humble and giving to all God, and said, Caesar, please, you know, forgive my sins and help me to live. And the other one was rich and was saying, hey, I'm not like that poor man over there, God, you know, I'm great, and I'm, this one goes to heaven. Okay. So we can, or you cannot have two masters. You can leave one and go to the other one. Why? Because it just doesn't go together. You're worldly, be worldly. Okay. If you're worldly, I push you more, go toward the world. Be satisfied with the world first, and then you're done with it, then you will say, I had enough of this world, I don't have nothing to do with it. Then you come to become a spiritual. But if you come to the flag, you don't have to do that. You can have the minimum material thing and taking care of your physiological and safety needs. The rest is what? Sharing with each other. Okay? And when you share and you come to supply, everybody has a physiological and safety needs taken care of. What is that? The only thing that goes toward God. Really, what do we need? If we need only physiological and safety needs, the rest is going toward God. But if each individual wants to, you know, accumulate wealth for themselves, but it becomes a very self-centric thing, and you never can even make it. Because the only way you can make it probably is if you have millions and billions of dollars and you can, you know, afford to, because even those people, they accumulate a lot of money for their retirement. If they become very sick, what happens to that money? But that doesn't drain to the hospital, the doctor bills and all that. Okay, of course, hopefully in our system eventually, medical care and education is going to be free for everyone. They wouldn't have to, you know, pay all the money for income for that purposes. So we can see that we have to create a physiological and safety need for humanity. The next step is secularization. Okay. So we have to look at ourselves, you know, this one, are we worldly or are we spiritual? If it's spiritual, you have no choice but to come and join the commons of life or create the commons of life so your physiological safety is taken care of, you know, easily, and the rest is go to our job. Or if you're worldly, okay, go to the world, okay? Don't waste your time, you know, just try to become a spiritual and just stay in the middle and become lukewarm. That's what God said, I don't like lukewarm, okay? You know, if you're a spiritual, become a spiritual. If you're worldly, become worldly. Don't stay in the middle. Okay, that's the worst place to be, in the middle. The worldly people go there and become, and put their effort into the world, and some of them are even happy where they are. Okay. Of course, nobody is happy unless they turn and go toward what they have been created for. But what they have been created for, they have been created to become divine. Okay. They have been created to become godly. Okay. So that is the decision we have. If you are worldly, then you use the grace for God. What's grace? Grace is energy. I use my energy to accumulate wealth. Is that grace? Or that become what? Become bondage. It's the same thing. It's the same thing that become karma. They become attachments. They become desire. They become things that make us more and more, you know, compounded into the world. Okay, I'm a spiritual. I go to the mountain and I try to completely forsake this world. Then you become those yogis living in a mountain, and suddenly you see a society fall apart. Like India, there's so much disease, so much misery, so much, you know, unhappiness there. Okay. Oh, that didn't work either. So what's going to work? You can see the coming of life going to work. That is the answer. Eternal divine path. Okay. Yes, you meditate, you awaken your spiritual forces, you try to realize yourself, overcome attachment desires, but where? In the comments of life, okay? With other people. And also other people are going to let you know what's wrong with you. After, oh, maybe they're nice in the first 6 months or first year living with you, but if you continue, you know, doing anything in the community that, you know, is destructive, eventually they're going to say, look, we tried for 6 months to be nice to you, but you have to, this problem, you have to take care of it. Okay? So, who is meditating? Not only you are meditating, but they are meditating also on you. So you're meditating the whole group together. Okay? So you would be able to help each other. This is not criticizing or sitting problem another person. This is not attacking them. This is not, you know, making them feel miserable, but guiding them and pointing out the stumbling blocks. Okay? So they can take care of it and put it away and free, and they can go ahead with their spiritual rights. So we can see, forsaking the society, forgetting the world, and going to the mountain, didn't work. It leads to escapism. Become completely worldly and want to live all by yourself, each individual or family, that's not going to work either. As you said, many people work all their life and they put a lot of money for the retirement fund and all that, and then they get around 65, 70, 70, 80, they get so many diseases or something, and suddenly all those money drains to nothingness, okay? And all their life, they are spending all that time for nothing. But they come with a life, with a good diet, with good everything that mission has given you, you won't be like that when you're 60, 70, 80 years old. And even then we create a society, the medical care and education should be provided for everyone. So, is the life going to save them? Is it taking care of? What is that? Self-realization. Having a spiritual forces, directing your energy towards the creation of the comings of life, sacrificing for it. Okay. Do those people that they spend all their lives accumulating only wealth for themselves, are they sacrificing? So we can see again, the answer is the comings of life. The answer is our teachings, and the answer is to know where we are at. And how much are we putting our effort and energy to creating this community society? For humanity, it is the answer to all the problems we have. And but the energy is the same. The race is energy. You can use the energy for the higher thing, you can use it for the egoistical thing. That energy is not ego. How we use it, how we direct it, I think as I said, ego actually is an illusion. It really doesn't exist. It's an illusion of separation from God. Okay. That is really the definition of Maya. Maya is the illusion of being separated from God. Okay. So if we shatter that illusion, if we are realizing completely that God is always connected to us, He knows that He's connected to us. He knows that He's one with us. It is us who we have created as illusion that we feel that we are separated, we are alone, we are lonely, we are completely, you know, nobody in the universe is connected to you. So that illusion is ego. Really, in a sense, ego really doesn't exist. Ego is just an illusion that we have. but this illusion is so real that humanity have a part of it, just like a veil. That's what in some religion they call it veil. It separates you from the reality.
Yes, hi, Craig. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the Medley. I know that that's where you came from. You were born, and I think you would have a real deep insight into what's going on there.
Yeah, well, if Jews and Muslims accept the teachings, they wouldn't have any problem, would they? And what part of the Middle East do you want me to talk about? Just between Jews and Muslims, or between Palestinians and Jews, or the whole Islamic concept and Jewish concept? Do you want to specify? That's a very broad question.
Well, I know that all the religions of the eternal life you might have, if you set out on the right, are there. We have the Jewish, Christian, Muslim, and Baha'i. And, you know, if you thought about what if you went there, what could you do to help that situation when the conflict is so bad? What does one do to help in a situation like that?
I cannot help anyone but those who are my disciples and those disciples who want to listen to me. You cannot help a person or a people who do not want to listen. If you read the Old Testament, you see God many times come to them and tell them to do this and that, and they don't do it, and then they fall. So really, I can help Middle East. Actually, the way is given for Middle East how to bring the peace and unity. But we have to bring the awareness to the people in the Middle East of this new revelation and bring them to the realization there is only one God, that all the humanity are His children, that they have to share and get along. Okay. Jews have to get along with the Palestinians. Palestinians have to get along with the Jews. They have to create one humanity and live together peacefully. There are differences between cultures. They should be respected and accepted, and at the same time, more mixed together and eventually come to a kind of a more balanced culture for everyone. So the differences would not be that great that exists now. And it is happening, and it will happen. So it is a slow process of education. It's a slow process of reaching this revelation to those people. That is why we need the spiritual teacher in the mission. We need the missionaries, we need the people who come and become the teachers and go to those places. Okay, we had one teacher just went to Florida, okay, and he met two new people who received the revelation and know about the eternal divine path. So our job is to give this revelation to every soul on earth and to every human on earth. It is a website. Anytime anybody goes to the website and reads the Eternal Divine Path, we are done with that. But there are people not only they read the Eternal Divine Path, but also they become attracted to it and they say, yes, that makes sense. I want to do something about it. Come to our satsangs and tell me, my prayer, I am interested to help. And then say, okay, what are your qualifications? What kind of talents you have? Then we have to use those talents to further this revelation to more humanity and more people on earth. And God has given us the ability to spread this message even in a greater degree than ever God provided for any revelation. So, I have to reach a point that we can't teach Jews that where they stand with God, where they are in the plan of God. We have to teach Muslims that they are in the plan of God. we have these Christians where they were caught in God's plan, and at the end, just like a temple, everybody can enter the temple from their own religion, but then they come to the center. Where are they? They are in the eternal divine plan. They have only one, there's only one religion for all humanity, and that is the eternal divine plan. So that is why I am so insistent to attract the people. They want to come and join and dedicate their life and reach out to humanity. That is why I am insistent that to see a lot of teachers are created. I'm insistent to create the system that eventually we can create the Paravipras, that they can change the society from the top of the hierarchy and all that. But should I go to Middle East and yell at Jews and Muslims that come? You should come together. Do you think it's gonna work?
I don't think so.
Exactly. It's what did they did? Did Christ didn't do that? He went and he tried to purify the religions and threw the money changer out of the temple. What did they do to him? They crucified him. And then they changed his teaching to whatever they wanted, and eventually, you know, Paul comes and take over and says a lot of things that is not what Christ taught. Just you know, even you know, the people are in our mission, okay? They are wonderful people, they're great people, they're great souls, you know, but still they sometimes misunderstand my teachings, and they say something that is not completely what I said. That's why, you know, even the teachers in the mission usually send me the answers to the questions, and sometimes they realize that I correct them, and they say, yeah, I didn't see that before. they're counselors, they're wonderful beings, they're people that they love the mission, they know the teaching, they want to teach, they want to preach it through the most purified way, but still they don't see it exactly sometimes that it should be. So I used to come every week here and I give answer to question, and why I come here every month to answer the question. To hopefully eventually mission is going to come in a very purified way, the way it should be to humanity. And we have probably around 200 cities now that it has all the sad songs from the last 20 years, that at least the last 4 years that we have. So the answer to how we can help the Middle East is we need more teachers, we need more outreach, we need more communities of life. We have to create the communities of life. We have implemented the eternal divine path in these communities. We have to create many of them. So eventually the world reaches to the Middle East. Okay, a lot of Jewish people become interested in the eternal divine path, and then they are no longer Jew, are they? A lot of Muslims become interested in the eternal divine path. They no longer are Muslims, they are the friends of the Jews who are in the eternal divine path. A lot of Christians will come to the eternal divine path. Okay, they're no longer Christian. Who are they? They are divines. Okay, then they wouldn't be against the Muslim or Jews or anybody like that. So the whole question is bringing all of them in the center of the temple, that they are one in that center. Okay, that's why you can keep your religion, you can stay Christian, but after you came to the mission for a while and you then the eternal divine path, are you longer a Christian anymore? If you really realize and believe that God sends all these religions, you can say, I'm not a Muslim. Yeah, I was born in the Middle East, but am I a Muslim anymore? No, I'm a divine. I'm an eternal divine path. Okay? That's why, you know, Joshua has a Jewish background. I have a Muslim background. Are we in each other's throat? No. we help each other. We live in the same household. But is she a Jew anymore? I don't think so. She is a divine. Mm-hmm. So we can see that's how we can help Christians, Jews, Buddhist Hindus, Muslims, Baha'is, all of them. They can come to the center of the temple and become one. But they have to realize this is the fulfillment of the prophecies that God has given to them. They have to realize it is God's revelation. Okay? They have to be taught, and they should be brought to this realization that this is the last revelation they have to listen to. If we can get this, that's why it's so important, all the things in the mission to be accepted as package. Okay? Then you saw that, you no longer can say, I can say my religion. Because your religion was a previous revelation, it lost its place anymore. Okay? But not with the sword, not with the destructive, way, but with education, with the understanding, with teaching, with the example. If we can create a lot of communities of life, and Jews and Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists can live in it together peacefully, will the world see that? You see, the world will say, oh, they are living peacefully and harmony. So it's possible to bring peace. It's possible to live, have coexistence. It's possible to share. Why Muslim and Jews can share? It's just a land, okay. Just forget about who's a Muslim, who's a Jew. Just fix up who's a better person, who's not. Just live together and share. I know it is easy to say that done, but that's what God said He's going to do. He's going to bring His kingdom on earth. That's the promise. His kingdom come. But how is His coming to come? With the knowledge of that, with the creation of the promise of life, with the education, with the realization that every religion in the past is a part of a greater revelation, which is the mission and the prison of humanity. So Middle East also is such a terrible thing happening there. If you cannot help the situation, in a way, right now, you have to think for the long run. Okay? And that situation is not going to be resolved until we really create the promise of life in those areas. Until we convert at least 10-15% of those people to the eternal living path. So the answer to the question, how we can help them, we can't. Right now we cannot help them. What we can do is to reach to the mission, to create more teachers, to create companies of light, and hopefully eventually we someday we can help them.
Actually, I heard on the radio one time about a group, and I'm sure there's more than one, and I did hear that there were more than one in this radio program, of Jewish people who were inviting Muslims to their schools so that the Jewish kids and Muslim kids could learn about each other and get along. So they realized that that's the way to solve the problem, by integrating, understanding each other's culture and getting together. So it's not just us that feel this way, there's many other people too.
That's true. That's actually, since the mission happened on the earth, the unity, at least the try to unify each other, to try to become nice to one another, to accept each other's cultures and all that has even reached in a higher level. They are trying. But those things, especially when the Jewish person was, actually what happened, one of the Palestinians who was close to this Jewish youth get killed. Okay? And all these Jewish youth were very sorry because they know him, and they know he was a very good person. So it created a very, very good situation that even they think people were sympathizing with what happened. Okay? But still, when they go to each other, that group is Muslim and this group is a Jew. Okay? And it's never going to overcome that greed between themselves. Okay. I had a good Jewish person that was my friend when I was in Iran. There's a lot of Jewish people living in Iran. And that's a lot, but there are some communities and perfectly integrated into the society. And we were very good friends. And then he went to Israel. And then the next time he came back, he couldn't connect anymore. He was completely different. He was changed. You know, we grew together, we went to school together and all that. So there is a lot of propaganda, there's a lot of brainwashing happening in these both groups that you know what happened. The hero of one society become a terrorist of the other one, and they create the heroes, and they put the other society under another. So no matter how much they try, the whole society should change their attitude. The whole society have to realize that we are all humans. We have the same problem, we have the same, you know, things, and we have to realize there's one earth, one humanity, one God. If we realize that, then there is no Jew or Hindu or Buddhist but all are here to become divine. Okay, that is the goal of the life. There's no one, you know, higher, lower or something. God loves everybody. How can God love not all of everybody? Because everybody is God. Okay, a part of God. His creation. Can you not like your finger but like your leg? No, it doesn't work. You it's a part of your body. If your finger hurts, doesn't matter. It's the same as your toy now. It still hurts. It's the same body. It's a part of God. So you might have to realize all these things. Okay. If they realize that, accept the mission and become divine, then do we have Jews, Christians, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists? No. All of us are humans here, struggling to become divine. All the resources we have. We have to share it with each other and even reach to the space and find even more resources. That the standard of living of everybody come to the point that we don't need, you know, being in each other's throat. But as Gandhi said, there's not enough for everybody's greed, but for everybody's need. So, again, sharing, comings of life, creation of the, you know, comings of life, and eternal divine path, unification of the religion, teaching humanity, reaching out, being, creating, you know, missionary, educating humanity that they are not Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist. God is not man or woman. God is both, you know, this political and the wording, the thing is created, you know, on earth that is separate. You know, just like, no, God is man. No, God is woman. Okay, so the man and woman try to separate each other. You know, some people, you know, believe in God, says some people in God. God is both of us, and it's neither. God is beyond a political, you know, movement or, you know, trying to create separation. This all separation has been created by human, right? We can say some separation was created because there was different religions on earth, and God sent these religions each to each group or people. But that's no longer. With understanding the mission, you no longer can be a Muslim. Probably, I know more about Quran and Islam than most of the Muslims know. But you can't be a Jew anymore. Probably, you know, Joshua knows about Judaism more in the mission than any Jew ever could know. Or a Christian. You guys Christian here, you know about the reason for Christ coming here for the number of three. The Christian, all that, those things, what was really the reason Christ came? That his mission was threefold and he accomplished all of them. So you see, you know more about Christianity than was Christian. So we can see that coming to the mission, realizing this thing, studying them, becoming more familiar with all the regions of the world and seeing how the mission gives you even more than any of the people in those groups, make you realize, wow, I'm already know more than anybody else on earth. Then we can teach other people. We make them realize what God has done. Okay? He sent all those reasons separately and each of them have a message. Then you put all those messages together. This is the eternal divine path. Okay. So this is really is salvation for the Middle East. Not only salvation for the Middle East, it's salvation for Irish and English in England. Is it a Catholic or Protestant? Yeah. Okay. It cannot be one that. The divine. They have to, if they become divine, are they going to be the same Protestant and Catholic? Yeah, they can't stay anymore in this separation. We can see that the way is given, okay, to bring peace and the kingdom on earth. But who's going to do it? I am giving it to you, so you can give it to someone else. If I can get 12-15 people, and those 12-15 people get 12-15 people, and that 12-15 people get 12-15 people, it only takes 7 level to reach the whole humanity. It doesn't take that long. It's just like a pyramid scan some people use. You know, that's the same thing. It's not really a big deal. It's very easy. If we have, we get 100 people in the mission, if I can reach 100 people deeply, that you really realize what the teaching was and what this revelation is, and each of those 100 people, you know, reach 100 people, how much is that? 10,000? And that 100 people, each of these 100 people, that's going to be how much? It's going to be around 1,000,000? And that 1,000,000 reach these 100 people, that's 100 million. 100 million reach 100 people, it's going to be 10 billion. Oh, they reach the humanity, all humanity. That's it. You're not even 10 billion, you're around what, 6, 7 billion? So you see, it's not hard to do. But you who are called for have to purify yourself. You're still stuck in a real thing in life. You're stuck in the, you know, things that you think I should solve it for you. As I said, I can't help anybody unless you are my disciple and you are humble enough to listen what I teach you. Otherwise, even I can't help my disciples if you're not humble enough to listen. God cannot help you if you don't want to listen. How can you meditate? You meditate to do what? Listen to God. If you're meditating and thinking of the diet last night, you're not listening to God, are we? If you're closing your eyes, you know, oh, how am I going to help my, you know, people or family, you're not listening to God. And that we need to the topic of the parents. So you, if the parents are the responsible to teach this thing that I teach you to your children. Children really are a captive of audience. And parents have a lot of influence and power over them to teach this thing while they are growing up. Of course, you have to follow it first yourself before you can teach them. You can't teach somebody that you don't follow what you teach. You become a preacher without following your own teaching. Okay. If you teach and you don't follow, of course they don't like to listen to you and not follow. So what was he saying? He's saying something and doing something else? It's not going to work. You have to do it. Can't teach. Then your children are going to listen. But you are, God gave those children to you. They didn't give it to me. I have my own child to take care of. They give it to you. You are the one God designated to take care of the child. You have to tell them about the teaching you guys way. You are responsible. Don't bring it to my and drop it in my lap. Tell it my children, then your children. I already give you what's the truth about them. I already told them what is right and wrong. You're in this mission. I gave you what is right and wrong. You tell them what is right and wrong. And follow it yourself. And stay firm and say that is the way it should be. If it's not the way it should be, then, you know, I can't be your parent. I'm not going to be as nice as I was or I am. Yeah. So we can see that this is the first level that revelation came through. You guys are the second level. You have a greatest. My responsibility was to give this to you. Your responsibility is to give whatever you can to whatever ability or outlet you reach or you can reach to. I connect you to God. You have to bring them and connect them to the mission and God also. So you can see, in coming to the sad song is just not hearing and feeling good and having a good week or a good month. It brings a great responsibility to you also. Okay. Do you want to solve that problem in the Middle East? Talk to more people. Teach to them. Convert them to become divine. The more demand they have, the less Christian, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist we will have. Okay. So, I cannot help with this right now. The way is given to if tomorrow Yasser Arafat and Sharon come to me and become divine, I solve the problem. If they become my disciple tomorrow, the problem of the Middle East is resolved. Because I can't tell them what to do. But if I go right now and want to tell them what to do, would they listen to me? So we can see subjective approach with objective adjustment. That's a part of the mission. Subjective approach means we are approaching toward bringing the kingdom of heaven on earth. Objective adjustment, we have adjust ourselves to where we are. Another thing, you can arm yourself and force people to accept eternal divine power. Just like Muslim. Okay. Muslim for a while, they had the sword, they put the sword in your head, either you are from Muslim or your head is going to chop off. Do we have all the Muslims know Quran and what Muhammad taught and God sent to them? I was born in a Muslim country.
No.
Actually, I rejected God when I was a child because I was asking them, show me God, I'll believe you. But they got angry God sitting up there somewhere and all this, you know, with his sword, you know, at the top of my head. I couldn't just, you know, even envision such a God existed. But now I know God is everywhere, everything. You know, it's not up there, sitting somewhere, you know, separate from us. But Muslim or not, Islam is different than Muslim. Judaism is different than Jews. Christianity is different than Christians. Okay. And so we can see that, you know, that doesn't work either. With the sword at the top of their head. What is work? Education, realization, teaching in a deeper level to everyone to realize what is the goal of life, what is the only one path, how the religions are unified. There is a God. A lot of people, 99% even of the people who say they are religious, they don't really believe God exists. Or at least have an experience with it. But if God said He's going to send these religions, if He said He's going to send all these teachers, if He said He's going to fulfill our promises, and He did it, does He exist? Therefore, God truly do exist. Okay. And that is the consciousness, and He's everywhere and everything. And there is nothing that is not Him. So all this teaching, we need people that have been called, that's why they're looking for elects. Okay. They are for the people that have been selected, called for, to come and help this mission to spread. And eventually to the Middle East. And that's how I'm helping the Middle East, is bringing this teaching to humanity. That's how we are helping, you know, Africa. That's how we are helping South America. That's how we are helping, you know, Europe, United States, everywhere. But people have to get up, reach to realize. You have to build the temple. if you build a temple and people in the Middle East and other people hear about it, and just even for the tourist, as a tourist come and see such a wonderful place it is, they can go through their own door of religion, and in the middle they are all one. What does he just convey to them? It's one humanity, one God, one earth. That's what we are helping humanity. But this thing has to be done. Go ahead, Tyra.
Thank you. The question is on the object and compassion.
Can logic overcome compassion, or compassion overcome logic?
Okay. How can you
relate
to both of them working together?
Okay. Okay, the question is, the relation of compassion and logic, and how they can work together? Let's first define them probably the best way is, what is compassion? What does that mean, compassion? Anybody can define compassion?
I think compassion would be God guiding this whole universe to the highest good for everything in it.
What's the difference between compassion and love? Have you ever heard anybody say unconditional compassion? Have you had unconditional love? So what's the difference? Why, love can be unconditional, but compassion cannot. Have you ever heard about tough love? There's unconditional love, there's love, and there's tough love. What's the difference between them? Is unconditional love tough love? No. To explain.
Would tough love be
love
without compassion?
What does that mean by compassion is love? You either have compassion or you have love. Can you have compassion to love? See, there's a great difference between compassion and love. And a lot of people make a mistake between them. You fall in love, but you don't fall in compassion, do you? Have you ever seen, I just fall in compassion? Or these two people falling in compassion with each other? You can't hear that. So it's completely two different things. Love and compassion. Love can be conditional. I love you, do this for me. Love can be unconditional, usually parents have a kind of unconditional love for their kids. And a lot of people talk about having unconditional love for one another. But usually there is conditions in love. Okay. And it's compassion. You might have a compassion over a isolated child in Africa, but you're not in love with them. So, compassion really means, especially when it relates to the compassion of God, means corrective feeling for humanity. So, actually, what Kyosha said is pretty close to what compassionate means. It means that God is trying to compassionately, He has compassion for humanity. Of course, God also loves humanity. Okay. But His love doesn't mean that He's gonna not correct you. His love doesn't mean that you can do whatever you want to. As I say, I still love you. I still love you, but I have a tough love for you. Have to progress. You have to see yourself squarely. That's what compassion of God is, because He knows if you do that, you're going to be free. You're going to be more godly by seeing yourself. Know thyself to know God. That's what God wants you to do. Now, if he says, I love you so much that if you don't even see yourself, and if you don't have progress, still I'm going to love you, God doesn't have compassion for you then. Because he's not correcting you. He's not guiding you. Why does he have to send the prophet? If he had unconditional love, you can do whatever you want, humanity. I still love you unconditionally. I'm not going to send the scriptures. I'm not going to send prophets. I'm not going to try to guide you. Do whatever you want, and I still cannot love you. No, it doesn't. What does it do? The distraction sometimes. He has to destroy some part of the universe in order to create a new one. Oh, I have unconditional love. I can't destroy this part of the universe. I love my body unconditionally. I have a couple of tumors all over my body. I love my body so much that I'm not going to cut the tumors out because my love is unconditional. I can do nothing to do with those tumors. But I love my body, but I'm going to have a tough love toward my body. In order to cure it, I have to get those tumors out. I have a compassionate feeling on that poor child that is starving in Africa. What am I going to do about it? I'm going to try first Peter. For Peter. Okay. That's become the goal of my life, and then become a missionary or a social worker, or dedicate myself to some kind of cause and go there and feed that child or children there. Okay, I feed them so much. They have food for a couple of days or a month or 2 months or 3 months. I leave or the resources are dried out and the kids go back to starvation again. Or I put my effort in creation of the coming satellite and create the kingdom of heaven on earth, distribute the resources in a more equal way, you know, reach to the space and bring more resources to the earth, and then I can help millions of kids that won't be starving. So right now, it seems so cruel not to reach to that kid. I'm not saying don't reach to it. Probably not for a while. What is the greater repurpose to do in the long run? Which one is more compassionate? Okay. I have a compassionate, I feed the kid, and he become a criminal. I had compassion, but would I go ahead and start correcting him not to become a criminal, teaching him to stay, you know, good person, helpful to the society? I had compassion with him, but I will correct him if he's not going wrong. So look at your definition of God's love. It's called compassion. If you call God, God loves me, so I don't have to look at myself. God loves me, therefore I don't see the tumor in my body, but God's going to heal me. I'm not going to go to the doctor and tell him to take those tumors out. You know, God's going to take care of the tumors. It's just like that man, the flood came, and then he went at the top of his house, and a boat came, and then I told him, let's go, you know. He said, no, don't worry. I trust in God. He's going to take care of me. Later on, a helicopter came and said, come on. He'll give the rest to you. And he said, no, that's okay. I trust in God. Now, what he came, he eventually got drowned and went to heaven or whatever. And asked God, why didn't you help me? He said, well, didn't you see the boat and the helicopter? That is the logic of the God. The compassion was sending the boat, sending the helicopter. The logic is to seek God's help coming to you. If you're sitting there and say, well, God loves me, He's going to take care of me, but I have all these problems and these tumors and all these things in my life and my body, and I'm not going to look at them because I trust in God. They don't know, you don't know the compassion of God. Maybe my tree was sent by God to tell you, hey, there's a tumor in your life. Look at it. Take it to the doctor, take it out. But you just hold on in and say, no, I'm not going to look at my tumor, you know, because God is compassionate. And compassion means I can do whatever I want to. I don't progress. I drop my problem in somebody else's lap. I'm not going to look at him because I'm attached to the world, because I have so many desires and attachments, and I follow a philosophy that fits my situation. Therefore, it's okay the way I am, and I'm not going to look at the problem. Then, of course, your definition of compassion and love and all that's going to be different than my definition of love and compassion. Therefore, we have to come to the same conclusion. Unless you don't believe in the definition of love and compassion that I just gave, you believe the definition is different. So, some people never gonna look at themselves squarely. Actually, it's a very, very scary thing if you really look at yourself squarely. Okay. Some people are still 75 years old. You know, they're still chasing the dreams of the 16 years old, you know, people. Because they never knew themselves to bring their life in a godly way. So, compassion means corrective love. Compassion means the feeling of being sorry, really. The compassion only comes when somebody else is in trouble, isn't it? You can have compassion when a person doesn't need any help. Again, you might have somebody who doesn't need any help, but how can you have a compassion if a person doesn't need anything? Can we have a compassion over somebody? Right? Compassion on someone is in pure consciousness. Have such a compassion over a person who has such a pure consciousness. Can you have a compassion? You have to be happy for that person that he or she is in pure consciousness. You cannot have a compassion over them. You can love a person who is in pure consciousness, but you don't have compassion over them because they are in trouble. Compassion really is when we get a feeling on somebody who is in trouble. Why that person is in trouble? How can we help them? We have compassion over them because they have some problem to be resolved. Can we solve them for them? Yeah, if it's the food, we can give them food. But if we can teach them how to grow food and have their food, it's even better, isn't it? You have a compassion over a person who has problems in their life. Can we help them? How can we help them best to point that out to them where the problems are so they can resolve the problem in their life? But if they don't want to listen to you, can you help them? You cannot help anyone who does not want to listen. That's love. That's the law in the universe. As I said, I cannot help anyone but those who are my disciples and are willing to listen. There you go. Even if you are disciples and you are not willing to listen, I cannot help you. But if you are a disciple and you are willing to listen, I can help you. I have compassion on you. I love to help you. I feel your pain. I feel your struggle. I feel your, you know, humor. But if you don't let me get it out, if you don't go to the doctor, if you don't let